Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Nectar of Instruction, text number 4. Tadati Pratigrinati Kuyam Akyati Prichiti Bhunte Bojayate Chaiva Shad Vidam Priti Lakshanam Tadati Pratigrinati Guyamakyati Prichati Pungde Bojayate Chaiva Shadvidam Priti Lakshanam Tadati Pratigrinati Guyamakyati Prichati Pungde Bojayate Chaiva Shadvidam Priti Lakshanam. Dadati gives charity. Pratigrinati accepts in return. Guyam confidential topics. Akyati explains. Prichati inquires. Bhunte eats. Bojayate feeds. Cha also. Eva certainly. Shatvidam six kinds. Priti of love. Lakshanam symptoms. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad, and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. In Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that even in ordinary social dealings, people engage in the six types of exchanges. For instance, an ordinary businessman will invite another businessman out to lunch. And then over lunch, he'll reveal his mind that he wants to engage in some kind of business, and then the other person reveals his mind. And then they exchange presents or bribes, whatever. Depends where you are. And this way the business deal is concluded. So similarly, in the material, in the transcendental exchange of Krishna consciousness, the devotees, they offer prasadam and accept prasadam. They also reveal their minds about Krishna consciousness, their realizations of Krishna, and they inquire about how to advance in devotional service. And they sometimes give presents, and they accept presents. And Prabhupada has explained that, for instance, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness was formed specifically to facilitate these different types of loving exchanges. For instance, we have our Sunday feast, and the Sunday feast was originally meant so that people on the outside, they come and they take some prasadam, and they get a chance to hear about Krishna from the devotees. Because at the beginning it was a little difficult. The devotees didn't quite understand the purpose. I remember when I first went, after they moved from 61 Second Avenue, they went to 61 Second Avenue, just down the block. So I was attending the Sunday feast. I was at the University of Buffalo. So I'd come during the holidays, I'd come home and then I'd go to the temple there. So I went to take prasadam for the Sunday feast, but I wound up with the ordinary people in the back of the line. The devotees were in the front of the line. So by the time the ordinary people and myself, the ordinary guests and myself, got up to the prasadam, it was all gone. There was nothing left for the guests. Luckily, at that time, Rohini Kumara was there. His name is now Madhava Maharaj. So he took me in the back, and I had some Simply Wonderfuls left. So he gave me some Simply Wonderfuls. And then, of course, the guests, those who survived after that, whoever came back, then they inquire confidentially to the devotees during the Sunday feast, what is Krishna consciousness? And generally the devotees would reveal their minds that you're less than a dog. And you're going to take birth in the lowest species of life. And the people would have to, they'd offer some gift to the devotees in terms of a contribution, and the devotees would quickly forget who gave them the gift. In any case, now that certainly devotees have, through experience, things have improved. In the beginning, the devotees weren't so conscious of the needs to reciprocate with the guests, especially. But the Sunday feast, for instance, is held in many of our centers, and people come, especially for the Sunday feast, to take prasadam. And sometimes, after coming for some time, they inquire about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and then they may give some donations to the Krishna consciousness movement, and sometimes the devotees give them books in return, or other types of devotional paraphernalia. So in this way, the exchanges of feeling are exchanged between one devotee and another, or persons who are becoming devotees. So Prabhupada said that by association, sangat sanjayate kama, people are known by the company they keep. Similarly, if one keeps a certain type of company, it's assured that in the course of time that their consciousness will be affected by it. We can see that after coming for some years, many people, if you ask them, they know all about the philosophy already. Even they haven't read a book or even come to a class, somehow or another, they learn about the whole philosophy. Not only the philosophy, they know everything that's happened in our movement since its beginning. they know everything that's happening in it right now. Even they sometimes know more than the devotees who live in the temples know. So this is all due to association. By association, people naturally acquire the same qualities of the people they associate with. And Prabhupada says, especially if this is true for Krishna consciousness, nitya siddha Krishna prema, sara kavinoy, shravanadi shuddha chite, karye udoy. That love for Krishna is very dormant in everyone's heart. It simply has to be invoked by the proper environment. So in that proper association with the devotees, then naturally one will appreciate Krishna. Because it's just natural, it's just artificially, it's been covered over. But by association with those who are trying to become Krishna conscious, and especially by the Shravanam Kirtanam process, the hearing and chanting, people naturally become devotees. And Prabhupada points out that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. Simply by this hearing and chanting process, the mirror of the heart is cleansed. One begins to see things more as they actually are. And then, bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam, all the anxieties of material life are gradually extinguished. Shaya Kairava Chandika Vitarana, and one gets the light of the the moon, the waxing moon. One's heart becomes full of transcendental happiness. And vidyavadu jivanam. And real knowledge, real consciousness is awakened. Anandam buddhivardhanam. So the ocean of bliss overwhelms one or drowns one. Pratipadam purnamritasvadhanam. And one is able to taste happiness at every step of life. Sarvatma snapanam. Therefore, this is the real bath for the soul. If one likes to be clean, first thing to do is clean the soul. If the soul can be cleansed of the modes of material nature under which he is influenced, and if he is put into the cleansing of the holy name of Krishna, the cleansing transcendental waters, vibration of the holy name of Krishna, then he can actually become transcendentally purified. And Prabhupada writes that not only is the chant of the holy name purified, but anyone who hears the holy name chanted by such a devotee. And the example is that in the Jarakanda forest, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went there, he converted even the animals to dance and chant. So Prabhupada says that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was able to convert the animals to chant and dance, we should at least be able to convert the human beings, although it seems more difficult. When Haridasa Thakura inquired from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will the lower species of life be purified, even the inanimate or unmoving living entities such as the trees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, simply by the loud chanting of the holy name. So the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, they try to hold love feasts and different engagements in people's homes, but they should give up the company of yogis, karmis, and jnanis. Because by such association, one will not be able to obtain the goal of life. So the goal of life is to adopt some system by which one becomes Krishna conscious. Prabhupada points out, Savaya Pumso Paro Dharmo Vito Bhakti Arhokshide Ahaitukya Pratiyata Yatma Suprasidati. Real religion teaches its follower to engage in loving service to Krishna without motivation and without interruption. Otherwise, the religion has no value. As we can see, modern religion hasn't really educated people into higher values. Because whether a person is religious, so-called religious, or irreligious, generally he does the same thing. Even the priests or the ministers, they engage in the same sinful activities as their followers do. And it says at the end of Kali Yuga, or not even at the end, but during Kali Yuga, if one has a sacred thread, he's considered to be a Brahmin. He doesn't have to have anything more than simply a sacred thread. So being a Brahmin is not such a big deal. It's a five-pice Brahmin. But if the members of the human society actually want peace and friendly relationships in between themselves, then they must adopt the process of Krishna consciousness, because only in that way can they actually learn how to have loving exchanges with each other. Otherwise, it is not possible for those on the materialistic platform to actually lovingly exchange anything. So in this regard, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada says here, warns all devotees engaged in broadcasting the Krishna consciousness movement not to speak to the impersonalist Mayavadis, who are always determined to oppose such theistic movements. So the question is, who are those Mayavadis that we shouldn't speak to? Does anyone know? Anyone know any Mayavadis? What's that? Yes, you shouldn't speak to Sankaracharya. If he came here, no one should speak to him. He'd probably say something in Sanskrit. We all become bewildered. One devotee once said that he was always wondering when he went to Vrindavan the first time in 1972. So he's wondering, he's always wondering, there was an Umapati Maharaj, he writes, that I was always wondering who were those Mayavadis that Prabhupada was always talking about in his lectures. He thought maybe it was some sect or a group of people that he was opposed to in India that he was having a fight with, and always criticized the Mayavadis. And then one day he suddenly realized who the Mayavadis were. He said, it was all of us. That we're all Mayavadis. In any case, the world is full of Mayavadis and atheists, etc., etc. So we shouldn't talk to them, except for maybe engaging them in devotional service. For that much, to sell them a book, whatever. But not to get intimately involved with people's philosophy. Superficially, it appears that most people have it somewhat together, that they're somewhat organized and sophisticated. But if you actually get to know most people, you find out they're completely insane, completely crazy. As we know, because most of us have relatives, we know how crazy they are. Therefore, we understand that the common man in the street is completely bewildered, has no idea what's going on. So Prabhupada writes that to engage in loving exchanges with such persons is just like feeding milk to a snake, milk and bananas. That if one has a poisonous snake in the house and he decides to be magnanimous and feed him milk and bananas, it will simply increase the snake's poison, and when he bites you, then you'll be so much more poison. So one should avoid such intimate association with such persons, and especially, he writes here, Vishayira ana kaile dushta hayamana. By eating food prepared by worldly minded persons, one's mind becomes wicked. Prabhupada used to warn us about this, even on traveling sankirtan, not to eat, especially grains cooked by the non-devotees. After a while, it affects one's mentality. So Prabhupada writes that unless one is very advanced, he won't be able to utilize everyone's contribution. I remember there was one group of devotees, so-called devotees, and they started one business called some prasadam business in Laguna Beach. Unfortunately, their main business was selling drugs. But they thought that since we're selling drugs, we have to buy some protection. So they thought they'd hire Krishna. And they did that by giving substantial donations to the devotees, to Prabhupada, actually. But then one of their main persons, he got caught with a huge amount of drugs worth millions of dollars. And then Prabhupada after that said, we can't accept these type of people's contributions anymore. Because then the whole movement became implicated, in the publicity at least. So the conclusion is that we should always keep association with the devotees and avoid association with non-devotees. And a devotee who's neither a Mahabhagavat or a neophyte devotee, a middle-class devotee, should show favor to the ignorant, should try to love Krishna, should make friends with the devotees, and should avoid the atheists. So Prabhupada writes at the end here that according to the Dadati principle, Rupa Goswami has advised us that every householder to give at least 50% of his income to support the Krishna consciousness movement. It says, whatever one's income, 50% should be spent on behalf of Krishna and his devotees, and this will fulfill the demands of the Dadati. So that might be quite heavy for us householders. But we should remember Kolavekar Sridhar was a householder. He lived in a house that didn't have a roof. And during the rainy season, it was quite wet. And I guess he used it as a shower for the homeless. And he was only making a few paise a day, but he used 50% of that to worship the Gandhis. He only had a plantation, a couple of banana trees. And if one goes to Bengal, one will find banana trees everywhere. How you make a living selling bananas in Bengal, it's hard to say. But still, he gave 50% of what he earned. Of course, most of our householders won't be satisfied living in a hut, especially if there's a hole in it during the rainy season. But still, the idea is there, one should give as much as possible for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. Yeah, but it's potent if it's Krishna. If it's the person who is chanting it, if he's thinking of something else, then it has no potency whatsoever. It's not, the Maha Mantra is not simply some word, letters in the alphabet put together. It means Krishna's form, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's loving exchanges. So one is absorbed in such conscious remembrance, Krishna's name, form, quality, pastimes, and loving exchanges, that's the Maha Mantra. But if one is thinking of something else, that's not the Maha Mantra. Then it has no potency. Instead, it's just like milk touched by the lips of a serpent. Instead of elevating one, it'll degrade one. Yes. Who's that? Family members. How do we deal with them? Well, as much as Krishna gives us the intelligence, we should know why we're dealing with them. You know, and deal with them. In other words, it should have some relationship to service of the spiritual master and Krishna. So, if there's no purpose at all, then we should just minimize our dealings with them. There should be some kind of return coming from them, some way, if only to make them more favorable. But we should especially avoid becoming affected by their association. 50% to the deity in the house and 50% to the temple. Then it's perfect. If the deity gives anything back in return, then you can live on it. No, the deity in the temple, in the house, you know, what's the difficulty giving him 50%? You give him 50% for the rent, so he can pay the rent. So he can buy the boga to get his prasadam. And once every year, you can make him a little outfit. But even if he gave him 50%, what would he do with it? Deity in the house. Buy some books, go out and distribute. Generally, actually, Prabhupada wasn't so much into householders having deities in their house. Especially if they lived near the temple, and it took too much time away from their worship in the temple. Generally, that was meant for persons live far away from the temple and they can't engage in regular temple worship, then it would be around. But around here, I don't think anyone makes so much that they have to worry so much. We don't have so many rich householders around here. All right, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj, Nectar of Instruction, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.